will be up on the screens. Amen. As we go to the book of Galatians here this night, chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, I really believe the Lord's giving me a real simple word. It's going to stay simple, ain't going to get deep, but I believe that's what we need here this night, and just about every time we join together is a simple word from the Lord that we can apply. So simple that we can apply it. Amen. The title, I believe this night, I think this is one of the best titles that the Lord has given me for a message. Amen. It's three words, and it's the whole message. And it's what ministry is about. Amen. If you get involved. Amen. And the title of this night's message is Discipleship Creates Opportunity. It's the message. That's the message tonight. Discipleship creates opportunity. Amen. And if you don't take notes, I would challenge you to get a notepad, buy yourself a pen, and come prepared to hear from the Lord, to take notes. It's something I did as a young convert without ever being told to do it. It was just something that was in me and that I knew was important that I had to write it down. Amen? Discipleship creates opportunity. As we go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible reads, "You, my brothers," speaking to the believers, "were called to be free." How many know that we've been called to be free? How many know when you were even out there in bondage, you knew that wasn't you? I knew it wasn't me, even though I was a drug addict. I knew that was not me. When I was in prison and I would walk the yard and act all tough and big old mustache, I knew that wasn't me. Paul opens up, "You, my brothers, were called to be free." The scripture goes on to read, "But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. Put me to the side. Holy Spirit, we welcome you, and we ask that you move and have your way here this night. And we all say in one accord, amen. Discipleship creates opportunity. Amen. I'm not going to mention who they are, but I already have a list of names that by speaking on discipleship making and by you coming to services, another six life groups are going to be opened. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. Because discipleship creates opportunity. Discipleship creates opportunity. But here, as we read, Paul was looking at the church and he was seeing that the opportunity of them being free was not only bringing forth opportunity to be a man of God, a woman of God, used of God, but he was seeing, as he was looking at the people, he was also seeing another work taking place, that there was some that were using their freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Amen? He was saying, if you're going to allow God to move and you want an opportunity, he said, rather serve one another in love. Don't use your freedom in the Lord to indulge in the sinful nature. He was seeing some that were catching it and some that were using their freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Discipleship creates opportunity to do what is right here this night. How many know a Christian that's still doing wrong? Even though they've been set free from addiction or whatever it might have been, they're still up to no good, still doing the same thing, and even saying they're a Christian. I put here as an opening point, whether you're being worked with or working with someone, the disciple or the discipler. Amen. Discipleship creates opportunity for the disciple as well as for the discipler. It creates opportunity for growth on both sides, not just the side of the disciple, the new convert. But I believe the six that I'm bringing on, this discipleship is going to create opportunity for the six new leaders over life groups to grow. It's going to open door of opportunity for them to pray a little bit more, to study a little bit more, to be giving the word every week. It's going to create an opportunity for growth on both sides. It's not a one-way street. Discipleship grows both ends. Those being worked with and those that are working with the new converts. Discipleship creates opportunity to fulfill the calling upon your life. Whether you're the disciple or the discipler, very simple message here this night. I hear a lot of people say, Pastor, I don't know what my calling is. Pastor, I don't know what my gifts are. Pastor, what must I do? Pastor, what do you want from me? I lead me, Pastor. And I would say, be a disciple. I would say, grow to the pace of being a discipler. Get involved, I would say, in a life group. I challenge every member in this church, if you're not the discipler, not the life group teacher, to get involved in a life group. We're going to continue to multiply the life groups. And on Sunday, I'll be giving the names, what life group has been, you know, launching off new life groups. I'm going to do that for Sunday. So that's why I'm not giving names right now. Amen? But it's meant to bring a multiplication. Amen. And I see that there's a numerical, but more importantly, a spiritual growth taking place within the church right now. And we got to run with it. We got to run as the momentum is upon our church right now. So if you're still asking, Pastor, what must I do? I would say, get in the life group. Get in the life group. It will open up and create opportunities for you to get your many questions answered as you go through the process of being a disciple of Christ in the end times that we live in. I share here, and I shared a few times, I says, when I was the director of the homes in Salinas, California, I put here, God used troubled people, and I mean way troubled people. I should put way before trouble there. God used way troubled people in the changing, and not only the changing, but the equipping of my life. You got to get the revelation here this night. Too many times we want to work with the goody-goodies. You got to get some messed up, troubled people to work with. We've been empowered. We've been given an authority. We've learned a few Sundays ago in the book of Acts to be witnesses, disciple makers, and God is with us. Too many times we want to choose the good people. Amen? I'm going to give you a revelation. There's better chances of you having success with the rough one in your life group. As I look back 20 years, amen? We got to get to a place with working with troubled people. Pastor, I ain't got the patience to do that. That's why you got to work with troubled people to get the patience. But I want to work tonight and keep working as the Spirit of the Lord is speaking in the area of reaching to that place of love, God's way of loving, not our way of loving, but God's way of loving people that are hurting. God used weight-troubled people. When I was a director, not knowing nothing and given a title, he used weight-troubled people to change and equip my life. That's who God used. Troubled people. Verse 13 says, how many, I put here, know that the Lord has called us to be free. You, my brothers, were called to be free. And I believe here's this night, there's some that don't feel that they're free even though they're saved. There's something holding you down. Something you've been trying to shake for a while now. You have salvation. You know the word of the Lord. But yet, you do not feel free. A liberty is not within your life. Something's pending. Something's hindering. Something's troubling you to grow in your freedom. See, we need to grow in our freedom here this night. We just can't be free. We need to grow in our freedom that Christ has given through the cross, through the resurrection, through the calling out our name to be set free. But we need to be a people that know and learn how to grow in our freedom. Too many people in the church saved, but not knowing how to operate in the freedom that Christ has given us. Too many Christians not knowing the freedom they have in Christ. That's why I say get involved. You got to start somewhere. You got to remain teachable to grow in your freedom. You always got to remain teachable. And not only teachable by your pastor, those that are above you, but you got to learn, remain teachable by those that are under you that don't know as much as you do. They have a lot to teach you. That's where I was taught. By those that were raw, coming off the streets, were my teachers. Were the ones that God used to change and equip my life to do what I'm doing today. It came through discipleship making. It came through working with troubled people. Do not use your freedom, I put here, to indulge the sinful nature. I put here, how many have ever seen a man or a woman voluntarily walk to prison and say, lock me up? Maybe one in a million. And you ask, why do I say one in a million? Because I was so messed up, I just chased the cop cars down to arrest me. So it's possible I did it. But how many men and women have you seen in the news where they go to the prison and saying, lock me up, I want to be in prison? If anything, they're trying to break out of the place. Amen? But they're not breaking in. Very rare, one in a million, would you see someone walking to prison and saying, lock me up, even if they're guilty. But I've seen a lot of men and women in my 20 years walk back to Egypt and say, shackle me up, put me back into bondage voluntarily. With the freedom of Christ, because they indulge in the sinful nature. You see, when we make that bad move to addiction, we were clean and sober. We were free before we did it. It was a decision. We used our freedom to indulge in the sinful nature, to gratify the works of the flesh, to feel good. And we forget why Jesus set us free. Sometimes we can get so busy at work that we can forget our purpose. The Bible goes on to say, rather serve one another in love. To me, I put here represents discipleship. Whether you're the disciple or the discipler, it says to serve one another. It's a back and forth thing. It's not a one-way street. Amen. It's serve one another. Serve one another. How many know that we've been set free to serve? Amen. In darkness, we were put in bondage to serve the enemy. But now in the Lord, we have been set free to be servants of the Lord, bond servants, which represents slaves of the Lord. In other words, we belong to Jesus. We're slaves of Jesus. We do what he says through his word. You see, when we become, that's why it's real important becoming a bondservant of the Lord, which to me represents a true disciple. See, when you're a bondservant of the Lord, when you're a slave of the Lord, you're not going to indulge in the sinful nature. You're not going to get caught up in the sinful nature. But too many times, we get caught up in the sinful nature because we're just saying that we're that bondservant, but yet we're not walking it. We're not applying it. We're living in end times, and the enemy is not playing, people. If you think you're smooth enough to mess around, go for it. Go for it. You think you get away with a little, go for it. You have a freedom. If you choose to do that, you can go for it. I mean, Jesus even gives you the green light. He says, be hot or cold. Go for it, he says. Are you going to serve the world or are you going to serve me? The choice is yours, but I've given you a freedom to make the right decision here this night. I've given you my word to follow. I've given you a leadership of examples and models to follow that don't indulge in the sinful nature. Serve one another, to me, represents discipleship. I said, this is the way to grow in your freedom. Too many people not growing in the freedom they have. Christ has invested in your life and my life. At the cross, at the resurrection, through his sufferings, for us to grow in our freedom. He who the Son sets free, the Bible says, is free indeed. I don't know about you. I still go through stuff, but I know I've been set free. I still go through very difficult and hard days, but I do not indulge in the flesh. I do not go do little things on the down low. I don't do it. If I indulge in the flesh, it's a little bit much too caffeine or too little much sugar. I do not go do that stuff on the side because I am a bondservant of the Lord. I'm a slave unto the Lord. Means obedience. As at one time I was a slave unto the enemy. I did everything he said, all the way to death over and over. I was a slave. I was a slave to the enemy. I was in full shackles, in bondage. What he said, I did. I was a slave to the work of darkness. But today I'm a slave, a bondservant to the work of Jesus, which he has set me free to grow and to be a leader of leaders, not just one saved in the church, but to be a leader of leaders. It means something to me. 20 years later, it still means something to me. How I was saved by grace and how God raised me up. It means something to me. So much that I know anyone can make it. But you got to choose who you're going to be a slave to. You have a freedom to make a choice today. There was a time when we didn't have a freedom to make a choice. It was the wide road, and that's all we knew was the wide road. That's all we knew. But today there's another road. It's called the narrow road. The Bible says that few will find it. We're living in end times right now. If things are taking place in your life that you know are part of that wide road, amen, it takes one step, one thought to get on that wide road, but it also takes one step, one thought to get back on the narrow road through God's grace and mercy, because you have a freedom to get back right on track. That is the freedom and the grace and the mercy that Jesus gives you and I, where we can even go astray and go wrong, and one step, one thought of forgiveness and repentance, be back in his grace and mercy, be back in position, once again, creating a way for opportunity once again to come our way, though we not deserve it. Grace says, you deserve another chance. God, take ministry, service, working with people serious. Serious. And I'm going to tell you why you got to take it serious. This is the way to grow in your freedom. I put here, the flesh is motivated to fill its emptiness. There's a void in every man's life, every woman's life, every youth life. We're born in the sinful nature. Amen? There's a void within everyone's life that only Jesus can fill. So when you try to fill it, through a job, a woman, a man, money, a title, a crack pipe. How many know that you can smoke all the crack you want and you ain't going to get filled? Amen. You still want more. So the flesh motivates, amen, for man or woman to feel its emptiness. And there's just no way you can feel the work of the flesh of a man or a woman. It's like a hole in our life. And it can be filled by none other but Jesus. None other but Jesus can fill your life. Matthew 5:6, I always quote it, but it's coming. You know, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. But you got to hunger. You got to thirst for righteousness, for doing things the right way. You got to have a conviction. You got to be motivated that you've been set free with a purpose that opens and creates opportunity, not only for your life, but who God wants to reach through your life. A disciple maker. We're all disciple makers here this night. The flesh is motivated to fill its emptiness. On the flip side of that, I put here, but love is motivated to fill others. The love of the Father for his Son and for you and I was to fill our lives, our empty lives. To fill our empty lives. Love is motivated to feel. I stand here because of love tonight. And working with the person of the Holy Spirit to fill you with something that's worth, that has substance, that can fill you, that can grow you, and grow others through your life. I speak through love here this night. Love is what motivates me today. It didn't always motivate me, but I continued to grow in my freedom, in my liberty, to the place where I can really say now that I love working with people even if they come against me. I grew in my freedom. And it came through troubled times, hard times, where I was able to grow in my freedom because I stayed in position. I never ran. And God has grown my freedom, my liberty to speak now, even in the area in the word called love. Not too many people can speak on this agape word called love. I'm talking about the love of Christ, not the love of man or woman. To speak on that word as God sees it, you got to grow. I'm not talking a Bible study on love of the love of God. I'm talking walking the love of God, demonstrating the love of God in hard times. But love is motivated to fill others. Good scripture here. It's a love scripture. 1 Corinthians 13:5. I'm going to pull a little part out of it. 1 Corinthians 13:5 is speaking about what love ain't. It says, it is not rude, but this is where I want you to get one. It is not self-seeking. As we go in our freedom, God grows our love for others. Love is not self-seeking. But when you're not working with people and you're not applying yourself, you will try to fill the emptiness within your life through work and money in the opposite sex. And if you're lucky, a title in the church. Love is not self-seeking. The flesh is. It's where you get the word selfishness. I put here, if you're not discipling somebody, you're still trying to fill the emptiness within your life. Simple thoughts from the Lord here this night. If you're not discipling somebody, you're still trying to fill the emptiness within your life. I put here through work, money, opposite sex, pleasing man, and even addiction. I even put addiction in there. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:16. Still talking about living in the freedom that has been given to us. 1 Peter 2:16 reads, live as a free man. It don't say speak as a free man. It says live as a free man. Live as free men. But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Wow. 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 I got to say that. There's that word servants. Live again as servants of God. It's a lifestyle. Discipleship, connecting with people should be a lifestyle, not a Sunday morning, couple of hour thing. An everyday thing. It's a lifestyle. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. I've seen so many men pick up on women, or women pick up on a guy in church because they're Christians, but the motive within is evil. It says, live as servants of God. The dictionary meaning of the word cover up, it says it's an attempt to prevent people discovering the truth about a serious mistake or crime. Cover up. Could somebody here this night be covering up something within their life. Amen. If there was an X-ray machine, would you be willing to, let's say, this day, stand in front of the X-ray machine and it reveals on the screens, up overhead screens, what's going on within your life? Would you stand in front of the inner X-ray machine? Or there's stuff that's taking place in your life where you say, not me. This is who we are in front of the inner X-ray machine before the Lord on a daily basis. See, you think there's a choice to be a free man or a man that is not free. But God sees all, knows all, discerns all. Before we even think it, He knows it. There he goes again. There she goes again. Man, Pastor just spoke on this right now. It's 5 minutes after the service. You know, I think we should come in all with those lead vests, because when you get X-rays from the doctor, they put a lead thing for you don't get cancer or something or whatever, right? You got to know that we're before the Lord. David sat before the Lord. We got to get to a place when we sit before the Lord, and when we speak to the Lord, that we speak from our heart. We got to get to a place that we know God knows all, and that God is looking into our heart, and that He knows what we're going through, and we're trying to be smooth and asking for something, like if He can't see what we've been doing lately. We got to get to a place of growing in our freedom to stop the indulging of the work of the flesh, knowing that God sees everything we do that is taking place in the secretness of within our life. See, some of you got to hide behind a bush to hide. Some of you have gotten so good that you can sit in church and still hide what's taking place within your life. But God sees it. Do you not believe that God sees everything and knows everything in your life? Because if He didn't, I wouldn't want to serve Him. But because He does know everything, and if I keep it clean and I continue to grow in my freedom, it's to my benefit that He knows everything, sees all, knows all. It's to my benefit. But too many times we even get faithful in praying and stuff, but we don't come from our heart. And we're giving head knowledge. We're even using scripture from the Bible. We're going through a situation of, let's just say, whatever it is, lust. And we go buy a book on lust, and it gives us 50 scriptures to quote every day. That ain't going to take no lust away from your life. All you're doing is losing out on $25 on the book you read. You got to know that God sees everything, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. If you're married, you want God seeing everything your wife's doing. If you're married, you want God seeing everything your husband's doing. Your children, what they're up to. You want God to reveal what's taking place and the hidden departments of our emptiness. Very simple message. When you pray, you got to pray from your heart. Lip service don't cut it, man. It's a good starting place, but man, you got to get to a place when you speak to the Lord, you can do it without even opening your mouth. Cover up. What do you think you've been covering up lately that really ain't covered up? Amen? And it's a good thing. It's to your benefit, I say once again, that God sees what you're doing. And he obviously loves you because you wouldn't be here tonight. He still loves you. But he's saying, man, you got to stop the cover up, man. Yes, I want to answer that prayer that you prayed this morning, and that one, and that one, and that one, but you're doing this. Why am I going to bless you and honor this area of your life when you're not honoring me with none of your heart? It's empty. It's hard for the Lord to feel a heart that has a big void in it, a big hole in it. It's like the Lord trying to bless you when you got holes in your pockets with money. I put here, when you live as a servant of God, which represents to me a true disciple, you won't be a servant of self. You can't serve yourself. Can't do it. We've tried. You can't serve yourself. I just want everybody just to leave me the beepity, beepity, beep alone. You can't serve yourself. If you could, not a one of us would be here this night. Self-righteousness. Or think that you're good enough to figure out this world, to figure out your life. You're not. We've been created to give all unto the Lord. That's the way you're going to grow in your freedom. But too many times, I always say this, we want to play hide and go seek with a God that sees all. In 1 Corinthians 13:3, the Bible says, this is how powerful the word love is, the love of God, not our love, the love of God. The Bible reads here, it says, if I give all I possess to the poor, one thing I want you to take that note, all I have to the poor, that's giving it all up, something the rich man couldn't do, amen? So what Paul is saying here, you can give all your money and be the top giver of the church. Goes on to say, and surrender my body to the flames. Paul's saying he was able to see guys that were top givers and that even gave their life, but yet had not love within their life. I gain nothing. Does the Bible speak about giving? Yes, it does. Luke 12:33. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Amen? It talks about us giving. Does it talk about us surrendering our body and giving our life and laying our life down? Yes, it does. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Plural, friends. 1 Corinthians 13:3. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. I get ready to close here this night and say, how are we going to be able to love as Christ has called us to love one another at another level? How are we going to actually be able to love as Christ has called us to love one another at another level? We go back to opening scripture, Galatians 5:13. And I go off that last sentence there. Rather, serve one another in love. To me, that means discipleship. Serve one another. Whether you're at the top or the bottom, serve one another in love. You want to grow in your godly love? Serve one another. Learn how to serve. Be a disciple that knows how to serve. Start serving. Start working with troubled people. There's something, a dynamic that takes place through that troubled people that you work with and serve. Something in the midst as we're doing that, God starts placing a love within our life that is able to grow our patience, grow our love from the way we've seen love now to the way Christ sees love. It comes by working with one another. This is the way, if you want to grow in your freedom in Christ, you want to grow in the love of Christ, amen, serve one another in love. It don't start like that. But I promise you, see, I wouldn't be able to give this just through a Bible study. It's something I've reached where I'm able to walk now. To say it will take place in your life. But I've never stopped working with troubled people. I've never stopped working with people that have come against me. And there's at times I can't, there's just some things I can't do or be in control of. But the one I'm in love with, I know is in control of all things. So I can expect for things to change that look like they're never going to change. Because I have that love of Jesus within my life. Someone that I'm thinking about right now, I still love him with all my heart. With all my heart. And that is not me. That is the love of Jesus within my life. Because Jesus took my life at my worst. He did it through a love. Not only unto his Father, but a love for the joy set before him. While we were still sinners, ungodly, powerless sinners, Jesus loved me. When neither mom nor dad wanted anything more to do with me, the love of Jesus continued to work through the addiction. The love of Jesus continued to work through the prison bars. The love of Jesus was able to reach my life. The grace of Jesus was able to do a work that no man, no woman could do. He found me. I didn't find him. I was just minding my business, doing time. I was literally shackled in prison, a slave to the system. But Jesus had a plan for me before I got out of prison. He allowed me to know the liberty and freedom. Before I got out, I was already free, a free man. Because of what took place in my heart that was initiated by Jesus and by prayer for my sister that was continually interceding for my life. The shackles were broken even before my out date. Love is powerful. Love's powerful. It's able to break shackles, even with those that you can't maybe today see eye to eye with. Love is so powerful, man, that it cancels all that out. I put here in my closing note, true love has kept me. True love has kept me. True love has kept me married. If I would have never grown in my freedom, I promise you I would have been divorced within months with my wife. I would have never made it. It's important that you grow in your freedom. It's important that you go the step beyond just coming to church. If you want love, the love of Christ to keep you and to be there for you. In hard times when you feel no one else is there for you. I faced those times a lot, even being one with my wife where I felt all alone. But that love of Christ, every morning. couldn't be stopped. It couldn't be stopped. It has kept me married. It has kept me as a pastor. I put here from bringing people to church when I got saved, filling up my car with girls, being a disciple, the pack of smokes in my pocket. Little did I know what God had in store for my life. Little did I know what His love was able to do even with a wretched man like me. That same love is available for all of y'all here this night. But we got to work with one another in love. You got to work with people, even the ones you're mad at. You got to press through that if you want this, a love that comes from Christ, an agape, unconditional love. When I got saved, I was like, first thing, that was all a joke. I could never do that. Do me wrong, boy, I'm going to do you wrong. It was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth all day. Get back. But something is taking place over the years of growing in my freedom with Jesus. I've learned how to love, even the hardest to love. So I say, I just not give you a Bible study here this night. I'm here to say that you all need this love in your life if you want to be successful in the things of the Lord. You can be the biggest giver and lay down your life, and if you have not love, you gain nothing. I always say, if this wasn't real, I would be in Texas right now. If this wasn't real, the love of Christ, I would be in Texas right now. True love has kept me. From the very beginning, I put here bringing people to church, to today being a pastor. It was love that did all those bridges of the impossible. It was love. It was love. Obedience. Been speaking to a man about the little things. I'm still very cautious with the little things. Even though I have 20 years of experience now, I still am very cautious and careful with the little things, knowing that God is in control of the big things. And if I get enough little things right, the big things will come. Amen. But we got to get the little things right. Amen. It's a simple message. Discipleship creates opportunity for everybody's life. Not only the new convert, but even the teacher. It brings a responsibility. Six more life groups are going to be opening up. I'll be announcing them on Sunday, because I know this is what's going to grow the church. Not only numerically, but most importantly, spiritually. The people that are catching it are going to start studying and praying at another level. Praying from the heart and not the mouth as we stand here this night. Don't stop discipling. Even when it looks like it ain't working, keep working with that man. Keep working with that sister. They're not here by chance. You're not here by chance. You're here because of discipleship. I find myself in Milwaukee, but I was discipled in Salinas, California. we're not here by chance here this night. Been having confrontations with other pastors, not of our ministry, of another ministry, and calling me out. I went there and said, "What?" And it was all a mistake. Putting my name out there again. Praise the Lord. I said, "You're going to have to get in line. You just can't come and do it right now. You got to wait in line with those that are coming against me. You got to take a ticket like you at the DMV and wait for your number to be called before you come and attack me." Yep, you got to wait. So some of you all had that in your mind tonight. Sorry, you got to wait. Take a number. This ain't Burger King. This ain't no drive-thru. And as I was speaking to leaders of another ministry, three of them, as I was speaking to them, cuss words would come out. I was like, "Órale." I was like, "I don't hear you, I don't hear you." And they didn't say something like, "Oh, sorry." They didn't say sorry, nothing. Cussing leaders. Board members, got all these big titles, cussing. And this is just communicating with me, not being angry or mad, just talking, small talk, cuss words coming out, slipping. I looked at David. I had David with me. I had a little bodyguard with me, amen, because he had to help me back, amen. And I says, "Do you know how fortunate we are as a ministry to be taught right?" They're building, they're excited and all this stuff, but they're cussing. I says, "We are so equipped, man. We're so equipped." What do you call it when you go try to get a job and you're overqualified? We're overqualified. Overqualified Christians. Man, we got to connect with people. We got to love the unlovable, man. God will take you to another level in love. Love is what's going to keep faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these three is love. God looks into our heart this night, and there's a measuring stick there where our love is for people. And I don't care where the measuring stick says about your love and where it's at. I want to let you know to be encouraged this night that it can grow. No matter what you've been, where you've been, what you've done, your love can grow. An agape love can grow in your life. Amen? Right there where you're standing, we're going to pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you for our freedom, Lord, that only you were able to give, Lord, able to do. And you allow our spirits to bear witness here this night to give all glory and all honor to you, Lord, that it was your doing. Whether you use that man, that sister, that church, or what have you, this night within our spirit, we know you are the source, Lord. We know you are the source, Lord, to make everything click, everything work within our lives and through our lives. Lord, I pray this night that you continue to teach us to grow in the freedom that you have given us through your ultimate sacrifice, atonement, that no one else could do for us but you. Oh, and I believe here this night, Lord, that there's men that are lost and bound. Some are very family members. That no one else can touch them but us. But us. They may not listen to you last year, 6 months ago, last month. But man, as we continue to grow in love, The odds are changing in your favor in saving that lost family member. But we got to continue to grow in love. And as you pray that prayer, the Lord will test you. He will test that love within your life with troubled people, hearing things the way you don't want to hear them. And he will test your love. He'll go beyond your giving and beyond you saying, Jesus, I'll die for you. If you're willing to die for Jesus, you'll be willing to love troubled people. We thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the